president, that of the Long Island Railroad. He, too, gearing up for a big day as far as adding more cars. Spotless trains, I hear. Spit shine. As far as those bathrooms, I got to see that for myself, by the way. His name is Philip Ng, and he runs the show. Great to have you, sir. How are you?
Well, thank you for having me on.
Great to have you, Philip. So what does this mean to you? You got phase one reopening. You got more people kind of flocking in on those trains this morning without question. Where are you at? Have you gotten ready? And let's get into it. As far as the fleet of cars, I was reading about 105 extra. Is that correct?
That's right, Jay. What we wanted to do is we know that people are coming back. There are some essential workers that we're serving. And now with retail, curbside pickups, construction, manufacturing, restarting on Long Island, we wanted to make sure we were ahead of some additional riders that we'll be carrying. And while it's still the essential service plan for essential workers, I'm very proud of what our workforce has done in being able to have these extra cars ready. We've added these extra cars where we needed on certain key branches and certain key trains. And what we wanted to do is let the people know that if they need to ride the railroad, those ones that need to get to their jobs now as they're restarting, we're providing them additional capacity, 15%. We have another 20% capacity in our yards ready to run if we see the need to, and that we're disinfecting our train cars every day. We're disinfecting stations twice a day. We're doing everything that we can to make sure that the riders, the essential workers that are doing heroic efforts throughout this pandemic, can ride this railroad safely.
All right, let's talk about the protocol now. Philip Ng, president, LIRR. Philip, give me an idea. The commuter might have a little trepidation on this Wednesday morning about getting back into the swing. Obviously, masks need to be worn. What if one forgets their mask? Are they off the train? How is that going to work?
Well, what we're doing is we are doing messaging constantly throughout the system, on the public announcements, on our social media, e-ticks, email alerts, and what we're making sure is that people know before they leave their homes they should be wearing a mask. If they forget their mask, we will work with them, and we will make sure that we remind them that the mask is required in the system, in public, actually, when you can't maintain social distancing, and we want the riders to wear them not only on the trains but on the platforms. And I'm proud to say that the majority of the riders have been complying. And that's why I think we're all seeing the numbers go in the correct direction, that we're able to get to phase one today. And that's been a key part of it. And I'm proud of the customers for heeding the advice.
What about the conductors themselves? They're going to be wearing the masks, I am sure. What about that? Gloves as well. Let's get into that aspect as far as checking tickets.
Well, absolutely. The train crew, fantastic throughout this whole pandemic. They are wearing face coverings. They're also wearing gloves. But the key part to that also is the hand washing and using soap and water when you need to, and as hand sanitizers as frequently as possible as well. It's been a key part in conjunction with our disinfecting, and it's proving that it works because we've seen our workforce stay strong as the ones that had the virus come through and get well. I'm proud to say that out of 292 positive cases we've had, we're now down to 19 cases, and we're praying for them and their families. And the workforce has just been phenomenal throughout this whole effort.
What about a crowded train? That's my biggest fear if I'm riding. I don't want to crowd a train. Nobody cramped in, getting into that space, the seating, and everything else. How are you handling that aspect?
Well, what we've been doing since the beginning is we're monitoring ridership because we know some travel patterns have changed. And early on, we added 12 trains to the system, and we were able to give people more opportunity to space out. And that's what we did with the 105 cars, and that's what we'll do with the 20% additional protect trains that we have across the island, 15 yards across Long Island with protect trains ready to roll. So as we have folks out monitoring the ridership, if we need to, we'll message to them that they could wait for the next train, and we'll run a protect train to give them a little ability to not get on that particular train if for any reason it's a little more crowded than they like. And the other part is we're seeing riders move down the platform. We're seeing riders move through the train, and there are cars on those trains that they can find more space.
All right, more space is key. So, I mean, are we going to see, you know, even in the two-seaters, Philip, people sitting next to one another, a three-seater, even a five-seater train, where are we at with that? Is there going to be some spacing involved there, distancing and everything else put in play? Where are we at with that?
Well, right now, I'm pleased to say that they can do that. The future, I hope to see people back the way we had before. And obviously, the key to that is the disinfecting that we're doing. People continuing to wear face coverings, people continuing to practice those good habits of keeping your hands clean, washing them frequently, and not touching your face until you have that opportunity to do that. So it's a combination of the folks doing what the health experts have recommended them to do and us doing everything physically possible to keep the trains disinfected in a way that we haven't done before. It's been truly a learning experience. We are being very nimble. And we are being adjusting as we go, as this virus takes us through different places.
You know, I was thinking about this, knowing you were on today. You know, it's like feast and famine here. I look at the period in which we have all gone through as a reawakening, a learning, a more learning experience for you as far as the railroad, you know, the sanitization and everything else. Maybe that's a good thing, regrouping, that type of stuff. On the other hand, you know, the MTA needs money desperately. I know there'll be a bit of an infusion popping in there. There's been a lot of loss of revenue there. So in one aspect, you're trying to regroup from an economic sense, but in the other aspect, you know, it's kind of a regrouping and reformulating the plan to make it better for the commuter overall, no?
Well, we are learning from this period, just as we've done in the past. The practices that we've done here, in terms of even our own workforce being able to work remotely, even the ability to continue critical projects like positive train control and keep them on time, shows that we are adjusting to this new world. And there are things that we've done where typically we'd be, say, on a train observing a new technology, and now we can do some things remotely using video cameras and have folks a little bit more spaced apart. All of this, along with businesses across Long Island and New York City, as they adapt, it will be a new normal. And at the same time, Long Island Railroad, it's been vital to the island and New York City before the pandemic, and I'm certain that it's going to be a vital component to the restart of Long Island and the different phases as we get back to, you know, building this economy and letting people enjoy the lives that they really came and lived on Long Island for.
And when you talk about the infusion, MTA will receive another, I think it's almost $300 million in coronavirus funds. President making that announcement last week. That's a good thing. One last thing. I know, again, trepidation. Not only the ride, but at least, you know, when you get off those trains, a lot of people will see, you know, with the homeless there, MTA has been certainly at the forefront as trying to make sure they're doing the right thing by restructuring that aspect. What can you tell us this morning, Philip Eng, regarding the homeless population, Penn Station, and everything else one might see is going to be a different look? Where are we at right now?
Well, I'll give a lot of credit to the folks that have been working on that aspect. The Long Island Railroad, in partnership with MTAPD, in partnership with the homeless services that support us, have been really effectively not only helping the homeless that are needing that help, but also ensuring that our system is safe for the heroes that we're moving. Penn Station, overnight, when Amtrak, New Jersey Transit, New York City shuts down for their intensive cleaning, we're still operating, and I'm proud to say that through the coordinated efforts of reducing the footprint, controlling the access through one entrance at 7th Avenue, we're able to maintain Penn Station in a way that allows us to still run service through that overnight period, and at the same time make sure that those folks that need help, any homeless that are seeking it, it's available to them. Coordinated effort.
Well, Philip, it really sounds like everybody is geared up. Hopefully a very pleasant day for the commuter. Business as usual. A little different as far as the psychological feel and everything else, but hopefully we're going to get through this. Can't thank you enough for a couple of minutes. Look forward to the next time.
Yes, I look forward to, and it's very important for the public to know what we're doing here to keep them safe and that the railroad is available to them. We have essential workers right now, and we're looking forward to the future when we could carry more.
All righty. Philip Bang, president of the LIRR. You stay safe, sir. We'll talk next time. Appreciate a few minutes.
Jay, you too. Thank you to your listeners, and stay safe all.